Hey, my fellow monkeys, what's up? Old Uncle Silverback here with you on the Armed Ape Podcast, the show where we review and talk about everything from guns, gear, and movies to life in general. Nothing is ever out of bounds. As always, everything we talk about has the end goal of making our lives better by cutting through all the marketing BS using logic, reason, and honest discussions. I look forward to hearing from you soon and to your participation in the show. Well, hello, my beautiful monkeys and my fellow travelers. What is going on? Your best friend in the whole wide world is with you. That's old Uncle Silverback. Today is, or I guess I should say the day that the show is scheduled to drop is going to be the 23rd. I am time warping you guys a little bit. Let's, though, go ahead. And before we jump in with Season 3, Episode 2 of Mr. In Between, entitled Champ, let's go ahead and get our contact info out of the way. There's a couple of different ways that you can contact me. I do have the voicemail, which is area code 206-745-2731. And there you can call that, and you're limited to about 90 seconds. However, you can call it as many times as you would like. If you would rather have me read out an email or have me play some audio that you record through your phone or through whatever, you can go ahead and send that to me at thearmedape@gmail.com. All one word, thearmedape@gmail.com. If you go over to my website, you'll find all my social media stuff. The website is thearmedape.com. If you ever would consider supporting the show, you can do so financially. There's a PayPal donation button. If you wanted to support it in a different way, I would ask that you go again over to the website, click on my YouTube channel, and subscribe there. Another way to do that is to support the show, is to get the word out about the show, get the word out that I'm putting more stuff out kind of on the regular, and hopefully we can get our numbers back up and maybe get more of a sense of community and stuff like that. Also, I did want to kind of do a little bit of the behind-the-scenes stuff. You may hear my neighbors are next door. They're out working, so you may hear some sounds that come across. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. It depends on how sensitive the mic is going to be. Also, I'm trying a new thing where I'm plugging in sound from the computer into one of the line ins on the recorder on the Zoom H5. And we'll see how that does. I did some tests with it, and it does seem to work pretty good. So I have a line coming directly from the computer for when I want to play clips. And then I also have a different thing that goes through the mixer, which is the CAD E100S. Anyway, you know, another thing, another thing that I want to get for the E100 is I want to get a pop filter. And I think I've got some of the settings on this dialed into where it's pretty good, but I think I still need to get a pop filter for this thing. So, all right, I think that is going to be it for sort of the behind the scenes stuff. So let's go ahead and let's jump in with our review of Champ, and that again is episode 2 of season 3 of Mr. In Between. So it opens up and Ray and Adam have finished up taking a shower. They're in the communal shower area. They're dressed and they're talking, just kind of BSing about cars and stuff. And as they leave that area, they run into some guy that, and I think eventually we find out that his name is Harris. At least I'm pretty sure that's what his name is. And it's a guy that Ray knows, and they kind of engage in a little bit of small talk. And then Ray introduces Adam to Harris and said, oh, this is Adam. And then as they're walking away, Adam says, like, see ya, champ. And again, that's where we get the line is uttered from and gives us the title of the episode. And the guy, the Harris, turns on him immediately. He's like, what did you say to me? And then Ray kind of intervenes and says, oh, no, mate, you can't use that word here. That's not a good word. And he's like, why? And he's like, oh, you just can't use it. And then Adam says, oh, you know, sorry, apologizes to Harris. But you can tell Harris is kind of upset about it, but kind of walks off. And probably the reason that he doesn't do anything right then and there, obviously champ doesn't mean, you know, what it would mean on the outside. So certain words that you can say out on the street, you can't really say in prison. And certain things that you could do out on the street, maybe you bump into somebody or something like that, and you can kind of let that go. In prison or in jail, you can't, because again, that level of respect and things like that has to be maintained. Harris walks away. Adam and Ray are heading out, and then Ray says, "Oh yeah, you can't say that here. Champ means cocksucker." And he's like, "Oh my God, I didn't know. You know, how was I supposed to know that? I didn't know. Again, we see that, and I talked about this a little bit, that Ray is sort of, has taken a little bit of, I don't even want to say pity, but he's shown a little bit of compassion as far as Adam is concerned. He's sort of taken him, again, under his wing a little bit and sort of showing him the ropes. He understands, I think, that Adam is probably not what he would consider to be a criminal or in the criminal world. And so he's kind of trying to help him as much as he can. So we cut to the next scene, and we see that Freddie is waiting maybe in the visitor area. Ray comes in. Ray sees him. But kind of an interesting aside, when Ray is being let in by the guard, Ray says, thanks, mate. Cheers. So Ray treats the guard with respect. Probably that guard, he either knows Ray or Ray knows the system and understands, hey, if I don't give this guy a problem, he's not going to give me a problem. Also, we understand that this is county jail, which probably has different rules than maybe if he were actually in prison and going to do hard time. Ray comes in and he asks Freddie, how's it going? How's the club? Ray actually seems relatively happy to see Freddie. Freddie doesn't really seem to be holding much of a grudge from what happened. If we remember last season when Ray was trying to get a hold of the little girl Maddie because she had been taken, he had gone to Freddie's son-in-law's house and caused quite a bit of ruckus, shot off a shotgun, but done all sorts of stuff. So again, Freddie doesn't seem to hold a grudge from that from before. And so let me go ahead and we'll play a quick clip here.
Good. How's the club?
Yeah, good.
Like, it's weird. I've never visited anyone inside before.
I know.
You got a good lawyer?
Yeah, look, he's pretty good. But he's fucking axey.
Yeah. Is there anything I can do?
I got a mate looking into it, so see what happens, but I appreciate it.
Okay.
How's your kid? Yeah, she's good. She's growing up.
Yeah, how old is she now?
12.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's at that stage, she just wants to hang out with her friends and that, and yeah, feel a bit left out, but.
Yeah, mate, I hear you, but don't take it personally. It's how kids are built.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need you, which is great, and then one day they don't, and it's hard in a way, but they come back.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a job for you, if you're interested.
The main reason I wanted to play that clip is because it does seem to show that maybe bygones are bygones, or that Freddie, maybe he's still not too happy with what Ray did and can kind of let things go, especially if he feels that he needs Ray to do something. And from Ray's point of view, I think he's like, well, if Freddie's willing to kind of let bygones be bygones, I'll go ahead and go forward. And again, it also shows sort of the human side of these two guys and shows a little bit maybe of the relationship that they have in that, they can still sort of talk about kind of everyday kind of mundane things. Anyway, the scene goes on and Freddie basically tells, hey, there's this guy that wants to, he's got a job for you. And Ray's like, well, when I get out. And then Freddie's like, no, it's for something that's here inside. And so Ray's like, okay. And he's like, there's this guy that needs to basically get taught a lesson, but nothing permanent. And Freddie eventually gives Ray the guy's name, which is a person named Johnny Tran, and Johnny Tran has apparently pissed somebody off who is the wrong person to piss off. And Ray asks, well, how much? And Freddie tells him, well, you'll get $10,000. So you'll get $10,000. And then Ray agrees to do it. So we cut from there. We see that Ray is out in the common yard. He's working on a punching bag. And again, we see all throughout the series, we see a lot of that Ray is constantly keeping in shape, is constantly working on his fighting skills, is constantly working on boxing, things like that. We cut from that and we see that Adam is walking down a stairway type thing, and Harris is coming up. Harris purposely bumps into him, and he's like, you know, what are you going to do? But then a guard is coming up behind him, and he's like, all right, Harris, you know, keep it moving. So we see, and also Harris says to him, when the guard tells him to keep moving, Harris says to Adam, you'll keep. So Harris, from his perspective, he feels that he can't give Adam maybe a pass on the champ comment. Even though he knows he's maybe associated a little bit with Ray, I think he's like, well, I can't have the word get out that this guy called me champ and I didn't do anything about it. And again, Adam had kind of thought, well, maybe it's over. So it goes to the next day. We cut to the next scene. It's the next day. Adam is asking Ray, well, what should I do? And Ray is telling him, you know, well, you're going to have to go after and get Harris first. And so I got about another minute clip, and we'll go ahead and play that here. Again, it shows some of the philosophy of it reinforces Ray's overall philosophy of people have to respect you, and if they don't respect you, then they need to fear you. Otherwise, you're going to be a doormat or you're going to be a victim.
You reckon he'll do something?
Probably.
What do I do?
Get him first.
Hit him?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't.
Now what? Maybe he'll leave you alone.
You don't think he will, though?
No.
It's fucked. I mean, it didn't even... How am I supposed to know that you can't say fucking shit?
You don't hear, mate, so if there's something about it.
Mate, I can't fight.
Mate, half the fucking guys in here can't fight. Right? They're just bullies. And they're looking for people who can't stand up for themselves. Right? So if you don't stand up and do something about it, you're going to have half the bricks in here after you.
Well, I don't want that, but I mean, have you seen the fucking size of the guy?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
No.
Okay, then why do they have weight limits in the UFC?
Mate, doesn't matter how big he is, doesn't matter how big you are, right? In a real fucking fight, the only thing that matters is the size of this thing here.
Yeah, mine's a little bit on the small side.
What is?
My heart.
Well, you fucked it.
Thanks.
Again, with that scene, what we're seeing is Ray's philosophy, the philosophy of, you know, if you know something's coming down the pipe, it's better for you to do sort of a preemptive strike. You've got to sort of know yourself. And even if you know maybe that you would get the short end of the stick in the fight, at least if you fight, it shows that you're not going to be an easy target. Yeah, they may be able to get you, but every single time you're going to fight, and eventually it's going to cost them too much. So they'll go on and they'll pick on somebody else. And probably had Adam, even if he, you know, threw a punch or something and gotten his ass whooped by Harris, Harris would probably then drop it, because again, in the kind of the code of prison or jail, at least Adam sort of tried to stand up or tried to fight for himself so he could say, well, this guy's no punk. We see Adam is following Ray. Ray is following this other guy who actually turns out to be Johnny Tran. And Ray has kind of a looks like maybe it's a cup of hot tea or something like that. Johnny Tran goes into his own cell. Ray follows him in there and kind of goes, psst, Johnny Tran turns around, and then Ray throws the burning or the boiling liquid or the hot liquid onto Johnny Tran's face. Johnny drops to the ground and he's screaming, and Adam is kind of doesn't really know what to think about it. You can tell he's taken aback. He's kind of internally horrified. Ray immediately walks away. Adam stands there for a little bit the whole time. Tran continues to scream. And then eventually Adam just kind of walks off as well. Later in the cell, we see Adam, and he's sitting there. He's got his eyes closed, and Ray kind of asks him, "What you're doing?" And then Adam says, "I'm meditating." And then he kind of explains about it, and maybe that Ray could try it if he wants. Adam then asks Ray about what happened with Johnny Tran, and Ray says, "Oh, it was a job." Adam says, "Well, that's kind of messed up." And then Ray says, "Well, you know, you piss people off, there's consequences," type thing. Adam says that he doesn't think that violence is the answer. And Ray says, "Well, you know, sometimes it is." Adam says, "Well," and then they're kind of talking about a little bit about, well, you know, what's going to happen maybe with Harris and that type of thing. And then Adam says, "Well, maybe I'm just a pacifist," and says Ray. And then Ray says, "Well, nah, you're just scared." Again, it shows that, you know, from Ray's point of view, what Adam needs to do, and Ray's trying to give him the advice and the tools to do that, is you've got to kind of increase the size of your heart, and you've got to sort of take care of business, you know, while you're in here, because otherwise, again, you're going to be a victim or bad things are going to happen to you. So we cut from there, and we see that it turns out we are at maybe like a body shop type place or something like that. We see that guy that Ray had hit, the reason that why he's in jail, and he's sitting there. The guy comes up to him and says, "Hey, Maddie, you got a customer." Turns out the customer is Dave, and Dave shows up and says, "Hey, I wanted to get an estimate on getting some work done." And he starts talking to, and we see that Maddie still has kind of a shiner. So, you know, it's only been, again, probably 3-4 days, maybe a little bit longer, but not too long. And so Dave's like, "Oh, what happened to your eye?" And then Maddie explains to Dave, "We were going through this crosswalk and this guy almost hit us, and he got mad, got out, and then, you know, kind of hit me when I wasn't looking," that type of thing. And then Dave says to him, "Oh, really? Well, so was it marked? Was there signs and everything?" And then Maddie kind of looks at him like, "Well, that's an unusual," you could see the kind of the workings in his head and on his face. And actually, I wanted to kind of give kudos to the actor, because you see a lot of stuff is going on his face, and he does quite a good job. And he's like, "Yeah, there were signs and stuff there." And then Dave says, "Well, you know what, Maddie, that's funny, because I was there and I went down there and I didn't see any signs. There was no crosswalk. Nothing was marked off." And then Dave says, "Let's go for a ride." And then Maddie says, "Ah, fuck off." And then Dave pulls up his shirt, and there's a pistol under there. And then Maddie, like, you could just see the fear in his face. Now, from there, we cut back, and we see Adam is sitting alone. He's in kind of like a rec room / common room, where there's a TV. And there is one inmate is watching some show. Another inmate has the remote and changes the channel. The guy that changes the channel is in a wheelchair and only has one leg. The dude who was watching the show gets up and says, "Hey, turn it back." And the other guy's like, "Nah, I ain't gonna do it." So the guy that wants him to change it back goes up to wheelchair guy and just dumps him over, takes the remote, and he's like, well, you know, puts it back on the show, and he makes some comment or something like that. Again, we see sort of Adam's reaction is he is totally out of his element. Of course, none of the other prisoners or anything get involved or try and help the dude in the wheelchair or anything like that. And he's just sitting there like, you know, kind of. So you can see on Adam's face, he is like, "Oh my gosh, you know, what kind of a madhouse am I in? What kind of a nightmare am I going through?" Because this clearly is not how he has been brought up, and clearly is not the type of world that he's used to operating in. We see Adam kind of the next scene, and he is walking down the hallway. It looks like and then you also see other prisoners, and it's kind of subtle. I didn't catch this the very first time that I watched it, but as I was watching it the second time to take notes, you see other prisoners are saying, oh, there goes like a new guy, or there goes this. And I think you almost hear one of them say something, blah, 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 Harris. But it's real subtle. And I don't know, maybe if I kind of imagined that. Anyway, it's almost like you see these other prisoners are pointing at him and kind of talking about him. So Adam goes into the bathroom. He's going to take a dump. And while he's sitting there, all of a sudden Harris barges in. Adam kind of, you know, jumps up. And then Harris just grabs him and slams his head up against the block wall and then throws him down to the ground. And then he stomps on his head. You don't see him stomp him. You see him stomping, but you don't see like the foot making contact with Adam's head. You just see kind of the upper part of Harris. So he stomps him like probably 3-4 times and then he walks out. We cut to then Ray, and he comes out of his cell. And then he looks down the hallway where the bathrooms are, and he sees this guy that starts to walk in. Then the guy stops, he looks, and then he backs out and quickly turns around, and then he heads out. Ray knows something is up, so he goes down to see. He finds Adam on the floor, and he's just kind of, you can tell he's like, oh man, this guy didn't listen to me, didn't take my advice. You know, I think he feels truly bad for him. But Ray, again, isn't going to get involved, again, because of the code in jail and the code of, you know, you sort of mind your own business, or you gotta stick up for yourself, that type of thing. So Ray goes back to, as he's walking back to his cell, we see a couple of guards are coming down. You hear them over talking on the radio. Oh, we've got a prisoner down, blah, blah, blah. We cut to later. Ray is in his cell again at night. He's by himself. Adam is probably in the hospital somewhere. I don't think Adam was dead. I don't think Harris killed him. I just think he beat him pretty bad. But you can tell when Ray is laying there, it's you kind of wonder what he's thinking. You wonder does he truly feel sorry for Adam? Does he kind of think, well, you know, this guy, you know, maybe he didn't necessarily deserve this, but if he's not willing to stand up for himself, then that's what you get. And we've heard Ray over and over talk about, if you don't stand up, you're going to be a doormat. If you don't fight back, people are going to beat you constantly. You know, you're going to be a victim constantly. We cut from there, and it's at nighttime, and we see that Dave and Maddie are out in the country. Dave gets out of the car. He takes Maddie up out of the trunk, and he takes him over to where there is a grave that's been dug. And of course, Maddie's like, no, no, no. And he starts crying and all this other stuff. Dave throws him down. Now he's got Maddie at this point handcuffed. He throws Maddie into the grave and he just starts shoveling dirt on him. And Maddie's like, I'll drop the charges. Please, please, please. I'll do what you want. I'll do anything. I'll drop the charges. And, you know, and Dave's like, shut up, and just keeps throwing the dirt on him. And then he stops, and then he looks over and he says to Maddie, he says, if you don't, meaning if you don't drop the charges, my face will be the last thing you ever see. And then he throws down the handcuff keys or something to Maddie. And then Dave walks off to his car, gets off and drives away. And then Maddie kind of gets up and he looks and he's watching Dave go. He's watching Dave drive off. The next scene that we see is Ray is getting processed out of jail. So obviously Maddie came through and dropped the charges. What we see too is how Ray and the guard that's processing him interact. I wouldn't say it's friendly, but it is professional. And in that, there is a level of courtesy and respect. As Ray is leaving, the guard says to Ray, like, see you next time, Ray. And then Ray says, oh, I hope not, or something like that. And then Ray, you know, is released and walks off. We cut to then the next scene. Ray goes to get Brittany, and his ex-wife tells Ray that she's acting kind of weird. And then they are, so he gets her, picks her up, and he's like, well, does she still want to go with me? And she's like, yeah. And so Brittany comes out, and they're driving, and she says that she knows that he was in jail, and she's kind of mad at him, and she's mad that he lied to her. And there's also a thing where Ray, she's like, well, what happened? And Ray basically tells kind of a sanitized version into where, oh, you know, these guys crossed in front of me and then they hit the car. They, you know, they slapped the car and I got out to talk to them about it. And then they attacked me and I had to defend myself. And, you know, the police did the investigation and, you know, I wasn't charged, but they, you know, they keep you in jail while they're trying to figure stuff out. And of course, one of the reasons that if we, although we haven't seen Ray this season go back to the anger management groups, this one, I'm sure, is one of the main reasons why Ray was put into jail and they just didn't leave him out, is because he had a very recent assault charge that he was convicted of and had to go, and as part of that conviction, had to go to the anger management stuff. So again, he also is asking Brittany, oh, you want to have one of your friends come over and spend the night? And she's like, well, basically, they won't let my friend come over because you're a criminal. And so word, I guess, has maybe gotten out. I don't know how word would have gotten out that Ray was in jail. I don't know if Brittany just goes to a school where they require school uniforms or if she's going to maybe like a private school. One of the things that's a little bit subtle is whenever Ray goes to pick up maybe Brittany, his ex-wife has a nice home. Some of the homes that he goes to, if we remember back when that one of the girls at school, I think her name was Taylor, was kind of bullying Brittany. He went to go talk to Taylor's mother. It was a very nice home in a nice neighborhood. So I don't know if maybe we don't really ever find out about sort of Quentin and, oh, and I can't remember Ray's ex-wife's name. But we don't really find out about their financial status. I mean, they do have a nice home and everything. So I think they are probably upper middle class. They're not like super wealthy or anything like that, but they're doing pretty good. So I don't know maybe if Brittany goes to a private school and maybe kind of word got out a little bit about that. Maybe even Ray's ex-wife was mentioning it something to one of her friends and kind of word got around the school and all that other stuff. So anyway, we cut to the next scene. Ray goes up to, the next thing we actually see is it's inside of a nice home. There's a lady and a little girl are sitting there, like at the kitchen table or something like that. And there's a knock on the door. Turns out it's Ray. He has gone up and he's like, oh, and I think, I can't remember her name. I think her name is like Rami or something like that. So anyway, Ray goes up. And he tries to explain to the mother what happened. And he said, oh, you know, Brittany's really keen to have Rami come over and stay. And I just wanted to explain to you what happened. And she's like, oh, yeah. And you could tell she's like really nervous and everything. But she's still not going to let, at the end of the explanation and everything, Ray's like, oh, well, could Rami come over and spend the night with Britt? And then she's like, well, you know, maybe next time, but we've got to go see her grandmother who's ill. And so, of course, Ray knows, you know, this lady is extremely uncomfortable because I'm somebody who has been in jail for a violent act, for like an assault. So Ray comes back and he tries to tell Brittany, oh, you know, they would like to, but they've got to go see the grandmother. And then Brittany's all sullen and is just like, you know, whatever. Because she, even at 12, and even though she's young, she still understands that Ray, it's kind of Ray's fault that this is happening. He's kind of like, yeah, and then they just sort of drive off. So, you know, with that, we still see some of the expression on Ray's face. He understands too, oh, some of my actions now are spilling over into, It's not just consequences for me, it's consequences for my kid. And my kid is missing out on stuff through no fault of her own. And I'm also having, if we remember, I think it was from last episode when Ray was talking to Brittany on the phone, she knows something is up. And so, you know, he also is, I'm sure, processing and internalizing a lot of this stuff of, you know, if I had just let the whole car incident go and if I'd just driven away, I wouldn't have had to go into jail. Brittany wouldn't be missing out on having one of her friends over. I would still be seen as just kind of like the divorced dad at school. But now, you know, which is like, I'm sure common and nobody really think too much about it. But now I'm seen as sort of this kind of criminal guy at the school. And again, we never know, like I said, it's a school uniform, but I don't know if it's just like a Catholic school or just a school where they require uniforms or if it's an actual private school. So again, like I said, that is the end of the episode. Again, we see that Ray is starting to internalize a lot of things. You see that things are, while maybe they're not affecting him on a super deep level, they're at least starting to work their way in. And he is starting to view things maybe differently than he would have probably 10, 15 years earlier. All right, that is it. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. I would love to hear from you. If you want to record your own audio and send it in, or if you want me to read out your email, you can send that to me at thearmedape@gmail.com. Or if you would just like to drop a quick line, you can use the voicemail, which is 206-745-2731, and say hello. Of course, you can just drop a quick line with email or with your own recorded audio just to say hello as well. Also, remember, it doesn't have to be on just Mr. In-Between stuff. It can be on anything that you'd like to talk about. All right, my beautiful monkeys and my fellow travelers, I will talk to you next time.